Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Bulk bag.
Bulk bag.
Bulk bag.
Dub bar.
Dub bar.
Ha, can I ask you a question? Before you answer, can I ask you another question? Are you tired of stairs, of balconies, railings, doors, windows, blinds? Hi, can I ask you a question?
Are we going to do our own podcast? are we going to do that one? It's already being done.
We can do that other one. I'm fine with that.
Those Damn Ross Kids. Conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number 71 of the comedy podcast that we own.
What's ours?
Those Damn Ross Kids, which we are.
Which we are. We are those.
Part
damn
one
Ross
of
kids.
Two is you, which is?
Which is Cole. Which and is Cole Ross.
Two of and two. No, two, I'm part one of two.
You're part one of two.
Because I was first.
Right, you were the first. You're the eldest.
Thank God.
You're the oldest. You are?
Chris.
You are Chris. Okay.
Yes. So one of
we've
two.
We've got
two
that straightened
two.
Out. I have to say I've been having an identity crisis as of late, and I think that at least narrowing it down, I am not Chris, but I am Cole. Right. That narrows it down pretty much. I am Cole.
K1 and
so, K2. K1, K2. K2's a mountain. You
can
know that, right?
You can smoke K2.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, like ketamine?
I don't know. I think it's...
Oh, they like... No, it's like some new designer drug.
Yeah.
Right,
it's
yeah.
It's like...
No, so K2 is a drug. It's also a mountain you can climb.
I think yeah,
if
and
you
I think
climbed
it's like
K2
another,
on K2.
I think it's a drug that you smoke it and it goes really, really, really fast and you get really, really, really high.
I like that. Like designer drugs, like, synthetic, man's control of mind over man.
Like a drug.
It's Jacob's ladder drilling straight down into the most base parts of your instincts.
Okay.
It's a good movie. I really like Jacob's ladder.
I never saw that. You talk about it constantly, so I feel like I shouldn't see it.
So keep the mystery alive or else we'll have nothing else to talk about. No, it's a really good movie. I like it a lot.
There's people out there that are like, no, please, Cole, don't like this. It's the kiss of death. No one will see it.
Come on. I have exquisite taste in film, Chris. You just don't appreciate the minor things.
You're like, I'm going to use a sports analogy. You box out well on things you like.
I box out well?
Yeah. You think
like
you
a
know,
box score?
You for... use your ass and like guard it.
Like a box score?
Like a yeah, okay.
Okay, like in baseball?
Like Kevin McHale.
Kevin McAllister?
From Community.
Kevin McAllister
from
Home Alone.
Wonder Years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Winnie Cooper was a cock tease.
Nah, well, you know. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Hey, Chris, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Americans have had it up to their phone books with their chins.
Okay, Dr. Seuss, continue.
We had 20,700 chin implants last year, making the procedure the nation's fastest growing cosmetic operation. It should be noted that the implants are most often added to other surgeries. One surgeon is quoted as saying, "No one ever comes into my office or clinic for a chin implant. Nobody says, I want to look like Bruce Forsyth." Instead, they combine the chin implant with a nose reduction because the chin is making the nose look bigger. For some perspective, and no, that's a different sentence, keep in mind that there were 325,000 breast augmentations last year.
Okay, 325,000 compared to how many chin?
20,700.
Oh, okay. So we're still talking orders of magnitude here.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Like, oh.
I want to make sure, you know, I mean, to see when you have the reigning queen.
Your nose isn't that big. Your chin's just that small.
It's all about proportion, Chris. It's all about proportion. I think that...
What are you going to do?
You know, it's just like Lord of the Rings. You have forced perspective, right? You have Sean Astin and what's his name? Frodo?
Rudy.
Rudy. Yeah, you have Rudy right there. You know,
that's Sean Astin.
And I know.
Is it?
But I know that Sean.
No, Astin. I'm asking. No, I'm not telling you.
Sean Astin played Samwise Gamgee.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
So who's Fruity?
Fruity is oh gosh, what's his name? He was North.
It's got to be your tree.
It's got to be North. It was North from the Rob Reiner movie North.
Walken Elliott.
He played. He was in Sin City.
T.S. Spoonfed,
yes. T.S. Spoonfed and Sean Astin. No, I only know Sean Astin because I have been
compared. Like, that sounds like somebody on 1080 Degree Snowboarding from N64, Sean Astin.
Bob Burnquist?
Bob Burnquist doing fakies on ollies?
A fakie ollie? What?
What? Is that a sock puppet?
Oh, I love that you're dropping the syphil and ollie science on me. Oh gosh, that was you can't see this, listeners, but Chris just raised his eyebrows at me.
As in, bring it, motherfucker.
As in, bring it. I can drop some syphil and ollie science on you.
No, I just want you to bring
it. Beer in the cabinet. No, that's a great show. It's all on YouTube too.
Is it?
Like nobody owns the rights to it, so it's all on YouTube. It's amazing. Yeah, no, Sean Astin. I only know him because people say that I look like him from time to time.
Really?
Yeah.
If you got a chin job.
It's all about perspective.
You know, forced perspective.
You stand a little bit in the background, then I'm going to stand here. It's going to be foreshortened. I'm going to hold the Sword of Gondor and ride an eagle into the sun. No problem. Fight a Balrog. I'll fight a Balrog. Chris, will you fight a Balrog? It's a kind of demon.
I don't... A Balrog... That's from the Lord of the...
Yeah, from Lord of the Dance. Flies. The conch shell. You hit somebody over the head with a rock because they have wear glasses.
Was that the... Now,
you're
was
the
that
only
the,
person here wearing glasses.
Was that the guy with the broom or the trash can lit in Stomp?
No, it was Trash Can Man from The Stand. He lit a lot of stuff on fire.
Mm, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oscar.
Oh, man. Chris, if I told you that somebody died of a coke overdose, what would you say they, you know, did?
They probably did cocaine.
Cocaine?
Coke.
Sorry.
Coke.
Coca.
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 Cola.
A 30-year-old New Zealand woman died suddenly of a heart attack following a years-long habit of drinking 2 gallons of Coca-Cola per day. That is somewhere, Chris, for us Americans, between 8 and 10 liters. It would be the other way around.
Yeah, that's an expensive habit.
Expensive habit. Well, no, you go to a store, you go to Kroger, and you get a 2 liter of Coca-Cola for $1.87.
Yeah, it's expensive.
You know? Well, consider smoking.
It's regardless.
Okay.
Now, is it true? Okay. Now, I read this here a few weeks ago because I think that they preempted the Coke stories before this lady, you know, kicked the bucket.
She had planned this was suicide by cola.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
She was going to push it to the limit.
She left a note. Anyway.
She left a note. It was written on all the windbreakers she got by putting in her Coke rewards points.
I don't know. Wow. I want the jet. That was Pepsi. But no, that Coca-Cola is so sweet or something that the ingredients are as such that they have to add an ingredient so that you don't vomit the minute that it hits your stomach.
Really?
Yeah. And I can't remember what kind of acid it is or something to that effect.
It's like phosphoric acid or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That.
But
they
have to add an ingredient that makes it so that your body just doesn't immediately go,
this is poison. This is poison. Antifreeze is also sweet.
Yeah, like your stomach doesn't go waka waka.
Am I drinking an antifreeze float?
What is that now?
What?
No, that was my stomach. What's that now?
what's all this then?
Hey, what's all this then?
My stomach is British and also wears a monocle over its belly button.
Heave chunks.
The first thing she would do in the morning was have a drink of Coke beside her bed, and the last thing she would do at night was have a drink of Coke, said her husband. The woman collapsed after getting her children ready for school and was dead shortly thereafter. A spokesperson for Coke said, "We concur with the information shared by the coroner's office that the grossly excessive ingestion of any food product, including water, over a short period of time with the inadequate consumption of essential nutrients and the failure to seek appropriate medical attention when needed can be dramatically symptomatic." And by symptomatic, this corporate chill means dead.
You know, there's an English pub down the street called Cock and Bull, right?
Cock and Bull?
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Cock and Bull.
There is one just down the road.
Down the road from my place?
From here, yeah.
Are you going to let my listeners triangulate the location of the new studio?
No.
Don't let them triangulate, Chris. I can't have them, you know, coming down here looking for favors.
I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to, because it was an English lady, and I don't know, maybe...
No,
it
was a New Zealander.
Yeah, the same
she was
thing,
a
though.
Kiwi. Ah, yeah, I mean, we all go back to the mitochondrial Eve, so why not?
Yeah, right? I mean, it was a minimum custody island.
Minimum custody.
Yeah, Australia being, you know...
Maximum custody.
Super max.
Yeah, super... If you listen from Australia
for the Pats,
New Zealand, you know, just you know, cool it.
What are you gonna do?
Your company is not welcome here.
No.
Hey, Chris, do you have a story for me?
Badass penguins there, though.
Oh, so badass! They have yellow chests.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, just like Asian women.
And happy feet. sorry. Sorry, Asian women riff. Blammo. Acura. The automaker or brand or something. I don't know. I think it might be Toyota, Honda. Acura. It's like, you know, it's a division of something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's Honda. But anyway, Acura has issued a full-on apology after the company put out a casting call for a commercial that sought an African-American actor to play a car dealer who was not too dark. The commercial, which featured Jerry Seinfeld and Jay Leno, ran during the Super Bowl, was cast by an agency that sent out a casting sheet looking for a, quote, nice-looking, friendly, not-too-dark African-American actor to play the role of a dealer. As for the language not-too-dark, Acura says the casting sheet was only now brought to our attention. We are taking appropriate measures to ensure that such language is not used again in association with any work performed on behalf of our brand.
Let's be fair here. Compared to Jay Leno and Jerry Seinfeld, everybody's pretty dark.
Hey, so what's going on with this Negro?
I'm like, what's happening with this black man near my car? Is he going to break the window open and take its stereo? I mean, come on. It's too dark over here, I swear.
It's too dark.
It's way too dark. No, they just meant like not like Jeremy Irons dark, you know? Not like, yes, I believe that this car will be quite a deal. I can't do a British accent, but I can do a brooding-ish Jeremy Irons accent.
Really?
I kind of. Well, like I just did there.
That's interesting. So you're implying that not too dark means funny. Well, no, as like, opposed to somber.
Yeah, like so, like a
which they tried to do.
Like a
No. Before they admitted that they did this.
Oh, so they tried to be like
they tried to play semantic with the adventure.
Yeah. So like don't be too maudlin. Don't be too maudlin.
Yeah,
right?
we want somebody we want a Negro a black an African.
We want a person who is melatonin, you know, who has plenty of melanin.
A tribal timbre.
Yeah, a tribal timbre
with a humorous.
It's like what they call performers in the medieval times. We want minstrels. We want somebody who can put on a minstrel show for us.
Really?
Yes, we want somebody who will put on a full on minstrel show.
Wow.
What?
It's good for you.
What is?
I just you're all about it.
Well, these people done fucked up.
I don't know why. Where did I go when you put on blackface for this?
Chris. Oh, man. Why do you
with your vaudevillian nervousness.
See, that doesn't make any sense without any context. Yes. Because I have very specific.
Some people who listen to this, because, you know, you can hear it in your voice the way you shift from side to side. Like, but no.
But I always stay on axis with the mic. I'm going all over the place here. But
your mouth is in the same place.
I'm going all over the place here. No, but I have a very specific body language about me. Okay,
yeah,
a certain.
It's crazy.
I mean, for a person who is as lazy as I am. I'd consider myself a lazy man. For a person who detests activity as much as I do, I have a certain frenetic energy. And you called me this morning to wake me up at the crack of 8:30.
Which I said, are you going to get out of bed and go to fucking work?
I got to work. I did my job. Fuck you. No. And you said, I thought of the perfect way to describe you. Because at my housewarming party the other night, you described me as Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
But
and I think I did a rather rousing.
Oh, you did. You picked up the dinner rolls with the forks and you did a little.
Yeah.
Which I am known to do from time to time.
Then I lit up an extra long cigarette with a holder and gave the speech from the dictator.
Chris, fans of The Simpsons will remember Whacking Day, the festival where denizens of Springfield would break out their whacking sticks and kill as many snakes as possible for fame and prizes. It turns out that this isn't too far from the truth. Australia has seen an epidemic of cane toads since the 1980s, when they were brought in from Central America in order to control the population of crop-eating insects. Toad Day Out is the national holiday where children and adults are encouraged to capture as many toads as possible, alive, and turn them into officials who will kill them. Toadmageddon. Toadmageddon, Chris. They're out there. They're chewing up our crops.
I'm supposed to talk now?
You're supposed to talk now about the toads.
That are going to steal my identity.
Chris.
No, I have Chase Freedom.
Chris, do you shred your documents? Do you shred your documents?
I shred my toads.
You shred... You don't seem too interested, so you can tell your story. I don't care.
I mean, it's simple. Just shred the toads.
That's what they're trying to do.
Just shred the toads.
How do you catch a toad without killing? Aren't they all hopping around?
You catch a... No, that's a tiger by its toe. Never mind.
Okay.
It sounds similar. In a new survey from Teenage Research Unlimited, TRU... 44% of teenagers said that they could get a handgun if they wanted to. If I wanted to, I could get a handgun.
You can't stop me.
I don't want to. That's the only reason I don't have one. If I wanted to.
I've got youth.
I'm one of the 44% in Obama's America. If I wanted to.
If I wanted to, I don't fucking care.
If I wanted to.
I don't care.
Don't got the money.
Shoot your fucking ass.
Yeah.
Shoot your fucking ass for talking bad about Kesha, Chris. Am I pronouncing that right?
I think we're so over her.
Am I pronouncing that right?
I don't know. Kesha,
it's got the dollar
key money
sign.
Yeah, pound. Key, 98. It's a party line from the 80s when you dial her name.
Key Dalla Shah. Kadala Shah.
Kadala Shah.
Ooh.
Are you thinking Muslim?
I'm thinking that there is some kind of Manchurian candidate ass shit happening with our TikToks and our whatnot. Is that a Kesha song?
I don't know.
TikTok?
It's some sort of Indian god afterbirth, is what I think.
I saw her perform it on Saturday Night Live, which I'm sure is where culture goes to die.
Yeah.
So no. But okay. So Kadala Shah. Kadala Shah.
Kadala Shah.
Kadala Shah.
The dollar store.
Yep. The dollar general. Not a bad place to shop. I guess what I'm saying is, if you don't mind the clientele, you can get a good deal on a funnel or a strainer or any manner of things for your meth lab.
Now a third, or 33%. Correct me with a decimal if you'd like.
33.33333333333333333.
I'll be back in a minute.
A third
of the respondents said that they personally knew someone who'd been shot, and 37% say they actively fear being shot themselves. About half of the 600 kids surveyed think the U.S. would be safer without any handguns, compared to the 25% who said adults should be able to carry loaded handguns in public.
Fuck you, I can get guns if I want, I shouldn't be able to because I'm just a teenager.
Yeah.
I'm just a teenager with a gun.
Okay, so a third, or 33%.
Okay. Right? Knew somebody who got shot.
Knew somebody who'd been shot.
Do
now,
you know anybody who's been shot?
Now, 37% of the teens say they actively fear being shot themselves.
Who doesn't? So there's fucking
4%
suck.
Who apparently tangentially know someone who's been shot and can't say that they actually know somebody who's been shot. So because they tangentially know, they also fear being shot.
Okay, so you're saying that statistically, if you were in a party and you gathered three people in a room for, I don't know, 7 minutes in heaven or whatever the teenagers do, mm-hmm. one of them would know somebody who got straight up shot, perforated? Chris?
Seems like it.
Perforated with a firearm?
It seems like
with it. With a bullet fired from a gun into the heart.
Now, 300 of these kids said, yeah, I don't want any guns.
I don't want any guns.
I don't want no guns.
I could get a gun if I want, but I don't want to have to. I want you to give me back my skateboard, or my rollerblades, or my Razor scooter, or my mountain board.
Pretty sure these kids are urban.
I'm. I guess what I'm saying is, have you ever seen a black person on a skateboard?
Hmm?
Have you ever seen a black person on a skateboard?
No.
Okay.
Marker.
I mean, everybody's afraid of being shot.
Apparently, there's like only, I don't know, 40% of kids. And kids are fearless.
They are. They've never been shot. They've been shot at by their abusive parents.
That's why they get kids to do circus tricks, is because they're fearless.
Let me fire you out of a cannon.
Hi, Sasha.
77% of circus kids feel the cannon should be outlawed. Oh, man. The town of Mount Vernon, New Hampshire, has bowed to pressure to rename Jew Pond, a small body of water that was so named after two Jewish businessmen bought the property a couple of centuries ago. Arguments against the name said it was offensive, where those who argued for it said that it was part of the town's history. It's notable because Jews were unable to visit a hotel that rested at the lake prior to the land being purchased.
Can I stop you?
The land will now be known as Carlton Pond.
We did that.
Did we?
Yeah.
When did we do that?
I did it.
You did it?
Yeah,
when?
Like a month ago.
Like now? Jew Pond?
Like no. No, we did, really.
Chris, I will fucking go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids and I will do a search. We do not have a Jew Pond.
Good night.
Anywhere.
No, Jew Pond's in there. We did that.
We did not talk about fucking Jew Pond.
We did. I did.
You did?
Yep.
Did you talk about it to yourself in a room where I wasn't there with microphones on?
No, I did it on the record.
What'd you have to say about it?
Really?
Was there a goof? Was there a goof involved?
There's never a goof involved.
We are deadly serious.
There's never a goof involved. But we did it. It's been done. Well, it's all been done.
Oh, woo-hoo-hoo.
It's all been said.
I knew you.
We're the coolest
before
kids.
Before the West was won.
And we take what we can get.
And I heard you say the past was much more fun.
It's been a while since you've sang.
You were wrong, I was right. You said goodbye, I said goodnight.
Keep
okay.
going.
Okay, I won't.
No, get it all
because
done.
It goes falsetto after that. I can't do it.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
It's all been done. I can go get my fucking guitar.
No, I'm
I'll
good.
Do it.
I don't want
I'll
you
fucking
to.
Do it.
No, I want you to get it all out because it's been like 8 weeks since you've done that.
Okay, so.
So if you get it all out, maybe we don't have to do it again.
For another 8 weeks. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. All I'm saying is I got some Dogfish Head 60 Minute right here.
Neats. Neats with the deets.
Man, I assure you, we have not done Jew Pond. My mind is a steel trap. Not a steel tap or anything.
Okay. All right. I accept the fact. I accept the fact that you believe that we haven't done Jew Pond. And I'm gonna come back with a story that I think you might have mentioned before.
I don't understand racism against Jews.
Oh my God.
I don't understand anti-Semitism. I don't understand anti-Semitism. It's like the worst kind of racism. I just like it confounds me. Everything else is based on visual differences.
It's all based on the fact that a star has 5 points.
It's a pentagram.
It's
Chris.
Just it's an argument
it's either,
over
it's either
geometry.
It's either Satan or Yahweh. All right, that's all I'm saying.
Who knew? Get out the protractor. Scientists have discovered a new gender of human, which is neither male nor female.
Tie lady boys.
It leaves those with the condition sensing phantom genitalia of the opposite sex. You know this. You ever heard this?
Do I?
Have you heard this? No. Anyway.
Is it gender dysphoria or what?
I don't know. It's a group of people with the previously undiagnosed altering gender incongruity or AGI, which say that they can switch involuntarily from male to female and vice versa instantly. The majority of bigender individuals experience phantom breasts or genitalia corresponding to the non-biological gender when they are in a transgender state.
So they just, in their mind, like, shift from an alternate universe where
they see somebody crying, okay. And if they're in their male, if they're feeling the dick. They're like, man up, bro.
Okay.
Man up, bro, heme.
Okay. And if they're and if they're feeling the vatch.
Oh, honey.
It's going to be all right.
I don't know.
So this is like transdimensional transgenderism?
I guess.
Huh.
It's, yes. Transgenderism.
Yeah, transdimensional transgenderism. So it's
Transgenerum.
So it's Schrodinger's testes.
No, because it's not just genitalia; it's breasts. And
it's
all of it. It's phantom junk.
It's phantom junk. It's Heisenberg's uncertainty of ovaries.
It's bizarre.
It's weird, right?
It is bizarre.
Gender's a fluid thing, you know. It's just one of those things.
I look at my penis and I see a ghoul from Pac-Man. What is that?
I'm not sure if it's Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man,
Phantom
Chris.
Genitalia.
I'm not sure if Miss Pac-Man or Pac-Man. I don't, there's no bow on top of this. I can't tell.
Seems like that would be easier.
There's no bow on top of this. Oh,
maybe,
man.
Maybe Pac-Man has this, and he's just putting a bow on top of the present.
And put on the bow and the eyeliner. Well, there's also the eyeliner and the lipstick, right?
Well, I just like to feel pretty.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to fuck me? Oh, man. Hey, Chris, do you want to go somewhere?
Nope.
No? Well, no. Too fucking bad. We're going to... Okay. Chris.
Yeah.
Do you know how many resources are out on the stars? And I'm not just talking about David Spade's residuals from Joe Dirt.
Are you going to talk about Jimmy C?
I am going to talk about, Mr. James Cameron. You got it, right? Not only is he plunging to the bottom of the Challenger Deep, which we have talked about at length on this program. He is also venturing out into the stars, along with co-founders of Google, in order to harvest minerals from asteroids, from near-Earth asteroids. This new company, called the Asteroid Mining Planetary Resources Incorporated, seeks to triple the Earth's GDP by finding... iron and copper and all kinds of things within these asteroids that are pretty near planet Earth. This practice could also even unearth large amounts of oxygen and water, making the larger asteroids into fueling stations for spaceships in the future.
What a D-bag.
Well, no, I mean, it makes perfect sense, right? It makes perfect sense. There are a limited number of resources that we have on this planet, but asteroids are rich in all these kind of metals and things like that. This substrata, this basic building block of the universe, all hidden away in these little rocks that are floating around the Earth, just being wasted, floating around the sun, just being out there. We can go there, we can harness them, we can bring them back here, we can float them around the moon, and we can exploit them for everything they can without harming a single person, except for any of the astronauts who are aboard the ships that are on there that are being, you know, devoured by any of the xenomorphs that are upon aboard, you know? Their blood is acid. You shoot them and they just down. You know what? You know what happens when they breach the hull, Chris? Vacuum. You get fucking pulled out of it like a sieve. You ever seen a human body extruded through a metal sieve? That's horrifying. You make it into a chicken nugget.
What are on these? Yeah, okay. What are on these rocks in space that we need? There are ores, I'm sure.
Chris, one of the most...
There are multiple generations of ores.
Yeah, there's so many ores.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like prolific hockey player family.
Yeah, no, they're ores, like that one character from Catch 22. No.
What's there that's not here? And if it's there, why do we need it here?
If it's there, it's gold.
And what's the deal with...
deal with this black person on my asteroid?
And I don't even know, right?
No. They would not let any black people on the asteroids. However, it's just the idea that there is only so much gold in this world. There is only so much platinum on the planet Earth. There's only so much water. There's only so much oxygen. There's only so much anything. All these, like, you know, just combination of atoms that are just resting dormant out there in the cosmic radiation of space. Captured inside these, you know, rapid velocity rock caskets that are circling the sun or any nearby star. Right? This can be the stepping stones toward interstellar situations. All right? This can be the stepping stones towards Earth-like planets where we can fucking rebuild and redo things right. This could be Pern, Chris. This could be Pandora. This could be fucking everything. It could be Shangri-La.
You're out of control.
I don't remember what control is anymore.
You're out of control, just like 6-year-old Celicia Johnson, who landed herself in the slammer after throwing a temper tantrum. Georgia police responded to Creekside Elementary School, where the kindergartner was accused of tearing items from the wall, throwing furniture, and knocking down a bookshelf that injured the principal. When officials attempted to calm her, she resisted, so cops handcuffed her and hauled her downtown. Celicia was charged with damage to property and simple assault, and has since been suspended for the remainder of the school year.
Simple assault?
I got kicked out of kindergarten for going knocking futs.
Why am I picturing her smoking?
I know, right? In like group therapy.
Yeah. Picture here.
In like a fleece, blue fleece robe and cornrows.
That
she had her lesbian girlfriend make.
They're not even sitting in like folding chairs around like the center of a day room. They're sitting on a fucking on an octagon concrete bench that is sitting on top of a rug that has like a town map on it. You know, just a bunch of other smoking kindergartners.
I could get a fucking gun.
Give me 5 minutes. I'll get you a gun by the end of the day.
But you have the kids in the circle. This octagon could get a gun.
I'll come back here, Steve.
How's this, bitch? Don't put your feet on this rug unless you've got a gun.
These mean streets. Upon which I run my Tonka trucks.
Yeah. Hey, ever had an article written where resisted and injured are in quotes? About you?
About you personally?
Yeah, doing
about
that.
About you, goddammit.
I resisted and I injured.
God.
You know why I did that? Because my principal quotes.
Because my principal.
I have to recognize your authority.
They say,
and I don't, so I quote it.
They say the last few letters of principal, Chris, or PAL for
really
PAL.
Smart for I six.
Say, I say. The last three letters of principle are fascist.
Oh,
Prince
gosh.
Of fascist. God damn it. Prince of Persia, Chris? No, Prince of Fascism.
Fascia. fascia, my fascia.
Prima facie evidence of youth gone wild. We're done.
No.
We're fucking done.
I got one. I got one. I got a hot one. Ooh, it's a hot one.
I am so scared of people who are younger than me.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I'm so scared. They're going to kill me, Chris.
Oh, you were saying we're done because of the kids, not we're done done.
No, like, I'm like, done. Like, if I see a kid who's younger than me, he is eyeing me. There's a kid in this very apartment complex. I believe he's kind of slow. I walked in to check my mail one day, and I turned around, and he was standing there with his arms braced against the doorway. He was like, ha-ha, he can't get out. I was like, yes, I can. He's like, no, you can. I was like,
you signed the lease.
Oh God, I'm so trapped.
This is weird. Is your toilet running? Oh well. Hey, a South Dakota prison inmate is suing the hospital where he was circumcised as a newborn, saying he only recently became aware that he'd undergone the procedure and that it robbed him of his sexual prowess.
Chris, do you not recognize how sensitive the foreskin is when it rubs against the glands?
The 28-year-old in
the natural mucous membrane lubrication rubbing up against you as you fucking jelk, as you milk that bone. All right? Come on!
Is asking for $1,000 in compensatory and punitive damages. He also asked in the lawsuit that his foreskin be restored in hopes that I could feel whole again, he's quoted as saying. Though he acknowledged that he didn't expect such a restoration to be anything more than aesthetic. The man who was imprisoned on a kidnapping conviction argues that an unknown doctor misled his mother to believe that the procedure was medically necessary.
Chris, we're opening up a huge can of worms here, because have you ever entered into any kind of like debate or discussion about circumcision on the internet?
A huge can of smegma.
A huge can of molten smegma.
Oh, okay. God. The normal mucous smegma membrane lubricant.
I guess what I'm saying is
urinary tract infection.
You gotta take extra care. You gotta rub a Q-tip down in there.
Yeah. I mean, they call them Q-tips, not cock tips. No, they're Q-tips for your cock tips. I get it now.
No.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So, Chris, there are a few things that our listeners, our fans, our lovers can do. If they wish to help us out. First and foremost, you can go to iTunes if you're of the Apple persuasion. And even if you're not, I don't fucking care. So don't bring your fucking politics into this for me. Go to iTunes, no matter what, create an account. Do your fucking business. If you like any of the hours of entertainment that we've brought you, and leave us a review, leave us a rating, leave us anything. You can also go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids and do a search for any kind of topic. We keep meticulous show notes, and you can find out if we've talked about one thing or another, such as DuPont. And in general, you can also tell a friend and contact us at duckfeed.tv/contact or thosedamnrosskids@duckfeed.tv. Also, our voicemail number is 419-528-TDRK. You can leave us a voicemail there and we will play it on the air. We will answer your question. We will not make fun of you, I assure you, even though I've said that several times in the past. Hey, Chris, did I miss anything?
No, I think you got it all.
Cool. Good night.
Good night.